Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and declare by faith. The Bible says we overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. Someone make declarations of your victory. Indomitable in Christ. Absolutely victorious. Blessed. Highly favored. Lifted by grace. Empowered by wisdom. Is someone making faith declarations? Go ahead and declare.
This is my testimony. I have a testimony. He's given me a testimony.
This is my testimony.
I have a testimony. God is glorified in me.
This is my testimony.
I have a testimony.
He is my testimony.
Someone, are you still making declarations? 1,000 shall fall by my side, 10,000 by my right side. None shall hurt me. With my eyes will I see and behold the reward of the wicked. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid of? He is the strength of my life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. It is true that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb gives us access to every grace. But then when you now find that access, the Bible says where the word of a king is, there is power. Now you are given access to write and rewrite your possibilities by the power of God's word. The Bible says, and whatsoever Adam called it, that was the name thereof. If you call it failure, it becomes failure. If you call it defeat, it becomes defeat. If you call it favor, it becomes favor. I'm telling you, if you call it victory, you see, God does not just shine light into darkness. He can bring light out of darkness. There is light in every darkness, but it depends on what you call it. If you call it defeat, it remains so. Hallelujah. I pray for you already in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what storm, it doesn't matter what darkness, just like our precious people sang tonight, may God give you a testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ. For some of you, your testimony will be so loud it will cause another man's testimony. I say to you, your testimony will be so contagious, like a virus, it will schedule another person's testimony.
Hallelujah. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
This part of the song really touched me.
I have a testimony.
I have a testimony.
I have a testimony. This is my testimony.
This is my testimony.
He told Abraham, he said, I am your exceeding great reward. Not that I would give it to you. I have become your reward. That when you are mentioning your rewards, you don't just mention real estate, you say God. God. Whatever you understand by that, God. And day by day, I sense such a mighty presence of God in this place. Day by day, you are encountering His presence. Day by day, you are encountering His glory. Day by day, there is an ascendance in the Spirit. You may not see it, you may not feel like it, but be rest assured, you are changing. You are growing. You are moving. You are rising. You are becoming. You are growing wings like the eagles. And soon when you take that flight in the Spirit, you will soar above the vicissitudes of life.
God is glorified in me.
This is my testimony.
This is my testimony.
I have a testimony.
You have given me a testimony.
Hallelujah. For some of you, you will sing your testimony. You will dance your testimony. You will write your testimonies. You will post your testimonies in the name of Jesus. Because of you, men will respect God again. Because of you, men will fear God again. Because of you, men will rethink their position with God. In the name of Jesus. You believe that? Let me tell you this. Before we sit down, testimonies are very powerful. Very powerful. Very powerful. Let me bring one prayer point out of this song. Psalm 96 from verse 1 to 3. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. It says, show forth His salvation from day to day. Verse 3. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. Declare it. Don't be silent about it. That the lifter has lifted me. The blesser has blessed me. The restorer has restored me. The healer has healed me. The anointer has anointed me. Do you believe that? I'd like you to pray in 1 minute and say, God, let me have my portion tonight. I contend for my portion. What you have in store for me, my portion of restoration, my portion of lifting, my portion of fresh oil. Oh, I receive my portion. I came tonight to receive. I came tonight to acknowledge the giver. But to receive again. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me give you one more prayer point and then we'll be seated. I'd like you to pray. I saw something while I sat there just before, I think after the offering or so. As the worship team were coming up, I just saw on stage here, like the hammer. That's what I saw, just lying down on the altar. And I knew exactly what that meant. Every time you see a hammer, there is a chain to break. Hallelujah. The word of God comes like hammer. So I'd like you to pray that prayer. Everything holding me down, so that I will not manifest prophecy in this season by the word of God like hammer, let it be broken. Open your mouth and pray seriously. Everything holding me down, mental chains, spiritual chains, career chains, human chains, the God of Paul and Silas, break these chains. The God of Peter in the prison, lose these chains. Elanta shagata balakata baratosyata. Someone is breaking financial chains, breaking marital chains, breaking career chains, breaking ministry chains. Following online, join us by faith. Respond to this vision. We're people of prayer. We respond to prophecy. This is our participation in righteousness. Shakatepa lakateba rakataba lakotosh. Rakata prantekate. Break. Break over my life. Break. Break in the name of Jesus. His word comes like hammer. Break it over your children. Break it over your job. Help those under the anointing. Break in the name of Jesus. Every chain holding my hands. Every chain tying my feet. Every chain tying my mind. Every chain tying my eyes, be broken. Be broken. In Jesus' name we pray. One other assignment of a hammer is to fasten things so that they remain without being lost. When you put wood together, you use a hammer and a nail, then you are sure it will remain there. The vision of the hammer also means Satan has come to steal some things. But someone, you are going to use the word to say, no way, your hand will not touch my children, your hand will not touch my finances. Open your mouth and pray. Resist the devil. You are using that hammer of the word to nail those promises, to nail those prophetic speakings. You will not slip out of my destiny. You will not slip out of my hand. Oh, God has given me a testimony. I will not lose it. Come on, someone, pray. The opportunity he's given me will not be lost. You opened a door for me, no devil will shut it. You brought men to my life, no devil will drive them away. You opened up ideas, they must work for me. You've started in my life, you will finish. Someone pray. Use God's word like a hammer. Fasten what is given you. Fasten it to your destiny. Fasten it to your life. You will not lose what God has given you. Come on now. Pray. You have given me a bishopric. Another will not take it. You have prepared a table for me. Go ahead and pray. You're not wasting your time. This is church. I fasten it. No losses. No losses. I fasten it by the power of the Holy Ghost. I war with prophecy, war with visions. In the name of Jesus, the waster is far from my dwelling. The devourer is far from my dwelling. The depleter, far from my dwelling. My testimony is victory. My testimony is grace. My testimony is advancement. Forward ever, backward never. Forward ever, backward never. Higher ever, never going down. 1 minute, you are not wasting your time. The spirit of prayer has come upon you. Pray it through. Pray it through. Establish victory in the spirit. This is a season where I insist. I insist on my portion. I insist on the word of God. I am matured enough, enlightened enough, anointed enough to insist until God's word speaks in my life, until his word is made good in my life. No shame, no reproach, no shame, no reproach, no shame, no reproach, no depletion, no shame, no reproach. Going forward, rising higher, making progress, breaking records. Jesus' name we pray. Can I give you one more prayer point? While we're praying, I was sharing in my spirit, there is this treasure. You see, let me tell you this. Provided the treasure God gave you is still hidden inside you, the world will never celebrate his hand upon you. The prayer is going to be, Lord, what you have deposited in me, draw it out. Bring it out. Let this be a season of revelation. No more hiding. You gave me wisdom, let it be revealed. You gave me supernatural power, let it be revealed. Come on, someone pray. You gave me wisdom, let it be revealed. You placed something upon my life. It's time for the nations to see the excellency of your investments upon my life. A man of God is praying. It's time for that treasure hidden within your spirit. Entrepreneurial treasure, ministerial treasure. Come on, someone pray. Every power hiding what God has given me, locking it within, remaining dormant, remaining docile, remaining unused. I declare a quickening tonight. Let the nation see his wisdom, see his power, see his glory, see his grace. Go ahead and pray. The songs within my spirit come forth. The sermons within my spirit come forth. The ideas within my spirit come forth. Someone, you are praying your way. You are breaking walls. You are smashing walls in the spirit. The treasure within my spirit, I call you forth like Lazarus. Come forth. Giftings, come forth. Talents, come forth. Ideas, come forth. Pray. Shabalatakata. The woman of God in me, come forth. The apostle in me, come forth. The prophet in me, come forth. The businessman in me, come forth. The kingdom financier, come forth. That prophetic mantle, hiding like a treasure, come forth. Come forth. Come to light. Light is that which manifests. Come forth, come forth. I call you Lazarus, come forth. I call you by the Spirit. Everything hiding, you were not designed to be in the grave, be released. The nations will see. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a candle, under a bushel, but they put it on a lampstand. Yes, the world will bow down and say you are God. Every man will bow down and say you are King. So let's start right now. Why would we wait? King of glory, feel this place. Just wanna be with you. Just wanna be. King of glory. I will sing hallelujah
till you come again. Yes, we will sing hallelujah till you come again. I will dance in your presence till you come again. Yes, the world. Bow down and say you are God. Every man will bow down and say you are King. So let's not cry. Why would we worry? So let's sing. Let's pray right now. Leave all glory, fill this place. Just wanna be with you.
Spirit retrogression. There are people God wants to minister to now. You take one step forward and 10 steps backward. In the name of Jesus, I stretch my hands and I decree and declare, everyone who has experienced patterns of retrogression, the moment something good happens in your life, is like 10 other evil things come. To a point you are afraid of celebrating good things, because as soon as you celebrate, there are other evil things waiting. I release you right now. I release you right now. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I release you right now. Be released from the shackles of backwardness. Be released from patterns of retrogression. In the name of Jesus, I declare you free right now. Free to advance. Free to go forward. Free to rise higher. Free to make progress. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Last declaration over you. Whatever has buried your glory and covered you. So you are walking physically, but in the realm of the spirit, you cannot be seen. You are not visible enough for helpers to see you. You're not visible enough for blessers to see you. You're not visible enough for anyone who needs to lift you to see you. I pray for you. Every covering cast upon your destiny, covering cast upon your face, covering cast upon your finances, covering cast. Manteleke parataska debelete kebash. Ebrateke bereska bilatoska bianta. I command that veil torn right now. Command that cast torn right now. I command that veil torn right now. 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 In the name of Jesus. May your helpers see you. May your lifters see you. May those ordained to find you find you. I shorten the distance between you and your helpers. I shorten the distance between you and your lifters. Between you and your blessers. In the name of Jesus. Whoever can speak well of you, may he arrive your helper before you. I say to you, whoever needs to give a good testimony, that a testimony foreruns your arrival, may they arrive your helpers before you. May they cause your helpers to receive you with honor. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks. Wave your hands to Jesus. Give him thanks. In the name of Jesus, you are welcome to church. Please be seated. Please be seated. Mighty presence of God tonight. When he comes in honor to our desires, in honor to our expectations. I perceive that tonight is going to be a very mighty night of impartation. Let your heart be open not only to listen and learn, but to receive. These are the things that happen in His presence. Impartations are very powerful. This is why our meetings are encounter meetings. You know what impartations do? It draws you into a realm of reality. It plants in you the grace that brings you into that reality. Hallelujah. Impartations deposit spiritual things, spiritual virtues within your spirit. And for others, whilst you listen to the word, veils will be taken from your eyes. You will see things clear, or you will see things clearer. In Jesus' name we pray. I welcome every one of you. Reverend Akila, thank you so much. The Lord bless you, sir. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want to appreciate everyone. It's good to be in the house of God. And as always, my commitment before God and to you is that every service becomes as rich as possible, an encounter, that you receive the fullness of everything that is required to equip you and to position you, not just as a believer, but as an effective witness for the kingdom. Hallelujah. I'd like to recap where we are going with this journey of encounter after encounter in His presence. If you recall, I have taught in this house, and even during our conferences overseas, that there is a progression to the growth journey of the believer. And for a reminder, that everyone starts by default as an unbeliever, alienated from the life of God. And then by acknowledging the Lordship of Jesus over your life, according to scripture, a transition happens to you immediately, not gradually, immediately. It's a spiritual fact. You're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. At that point, you are no longer called an unbeliever. You are born of God. You are born of the word. You are born of the incorruptible seed. You are born of the spirit. But when you come into the faith life, there is such a thing as a babe or an infant in the spirit. The Bible says, as little babes, to desire the sincere milk of the word, so that by them you will grow. So the salvation experience, like you've learned in this house, is not the totality, it's not the culmination of everything. It's only the initiation of the process that produces a mighty man and a mighty vessel out of your life, that produces victory and a manifestation of power and dominion. Are you learning already? So when you come into Christ, you are in Christ, but you are an infant. The danger that comes with remaining in such a spiritual state is found in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, an heir, for as long as that heir is and remains a child, he differeth nothing from a slave. That means your spiritual experience from a standpoint of victory and dominion may not be any different from that of an unbeliever. So you find many people who are in Christ, but they are not able to command victory and dominion in a way that consoles them and brings glory to the name of the Lord. There's an explanation to that. The problem is not the authenticity of your salvation experience. It happened as God said it always will happen. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you are saved. But then as a babe, a believer who is an infant, void of knowledge, void of growth, you cannot handle spiritual things with stamina and use the weapons of victory you have been given to establish your victory that is in Christ. And so from that journey, you begin through the agency of sound teaching of the word, the agency of prayer, the agency of corporate gatherings like this. In addition to your passion and your desire, you begin to evolve. That transition begins from an ignorant believer. There is such a description as an ignorant believer. You are in Christ, but you are still ignorant. Christ is not yet formed in you. Paul would speak and say, my little children, of whom I travail in birth until now, until Christ be formed in you. Once you remain an ignorant believer, you will be a defeated believer. Defeated not because the victory in Christ were a lie, defeated because you do not have the software of knowledge, strategic light that helps you to birth victory in experience. So God leads you through a system of growth and mentorship, one line upon line, precept upon precept, and eventually, it's a gradual process, you become what we call a transformed believer. Transformation first in terms of your character becoming Christ-like, and then transformation in terms of the strength of your understanding spiritually. So the word of God penetrates through your mind, and then it begins to deconstruct limiting beliefs, old mindsets, perceptions that have empowered demons, empowered failure, empowered defeat in your life. All that takes a long time, and it depends on your level of seriousness and hunger. For someone, what the Holy Spirit in partnership with the Word and the teaching ministry will accomplish in 2 years, another one will have to wait for 5 years to get the same result. In fact, for another person in 6 months, the kind of transformation that can happen to that believer in 6 months may be equivalent to someone else's 5 years worth of transformation. It doesn't depend on the power of God. It doesn't depend on the Holy Spirit. It doesn't depend on the Word. It depends on the extent of the press, the zeal, the passion, the extent of commitment from that believer. Are we learning? And then, when you encounter transformation, now your mind is enlightened. You know what should be. You have perfect understanding of the things that make for victory, the things that make for dominion, and the things that make for the revelation of Jesus. Your next step now becomes to obtain the empowerment, the engracing that makes you a validator. A validator. Not just an explainer of those things, but a validator. That means the things you have learned through your journey of transformation, you need to demonstrate it, and that happens beyond the level of transformation. It's called empowerment. Genuine Holy Ghost power. Graces in measures, graces in dimensions are invested upon your life in honor to your transformation. Now you obtain the spiritual wherewithal to not only speak things, but to demonstrate them. Mighty in word and deed. Mighty in word and deed. When you say God lifts men, you can show that He lifts men. When you say God opens doors, you can show that He opens doors. When you say God restores, you can show through your life and by you to others that indeed He's not a lie. And when you are empowered, we teach that from that point, you are no longer called a believer alone. That name is still valid, but another name is given to you. It says you will be called by a new name. That new name is a witness. Now you come into a realm where you are not just a believer, you are a witness. You know who a witness is? One who is now trusted with the singular assignment of bringing validation to the speakings of God. That means everywhere there is doubt as to the might, the power, the wisdom of God, you are the person He sends there. Your assignment is not just to be transformed again. The process is ongoing and it's in layers and levels. But now God is able to trust you with the weightier matters of the kingdom. He can send you to your family. He can send you to a city. He can send you to a nation. He can apportion a space for you in His prophetic program. And you will find out, you call it mandates, you call it visions, you call it assignments. He begins to give you allocations. Allocations. This is what I desire to do. Here is a space I have carved out for you. You are a worshiper. He begins to give you songs. That song is to help you occupy a space that people will learn God in the way through your songs. Are we together? You are a preacher. He begins to give you sermons, a unique understanding of scripture, and you begin to communicate it to people, and those words become like ladders. They help people to see God clearer. They help people to understand the ways of the kingdom more perfectly. You are a businessman. He can now trust you with ideas, strategic connections, because your heart has been purged. He's now not afraid. You see, let me tell you this. God does not trust transformation alone. He trusts transformation and empowerment. If you are transformed and you are not empowered, you would tarry. But you can't be sent that way. When he wants to send you, he will empower you. But you cannot receive empowerment when you are not transformed. To contend for empowerment without transformation is like insisting to drive when you are 5 years old. You can have access to the car, but every car that is given to you at that age is only accelerating your failure and your downfall. So many people who desire anointing and empowerment, many times the prohibition that comes to you is not demonic. It is God stopping you from wasting your time and wasting your life and wasting your destiny. There is a skill to hosting grace. And if you are not trained through transformation, grace becomes a waste in your life. Are we together now? Yeah. Grace can become a waste in the life of a man if the vessel that is hosting that grace is not so transformed. Moses was carrying the grace that fell upon 70 elders. A single person. He was quiet. He was even a stammerer. By the time a portion of that spirit rested upon 70 people, they could not keep quiet. From morning to night, they were shouting. So imagine if all of it rested on them. They would have just died there. You see, the ability to manage the engracing of the spirit upon your life is a product of consecration, death, and transformation. Welcome to church. This is Koinonia. Hallelujah. Tonight, I'm here again to provoke you. I'll be teaching very briefly. I like the prayer we did. I will incorporate it in this teaching again. I wish we didn't have to stop. I just sense that we're pushing something in the spirit. We really were pushing something in the spirit. If you didn't sense it, it means you are not serious with prayer. Hallelujah. Yes. It's very possible for God to be in a place and you do not know. Absolutely. Like you always find people in church, mighty things are happening and yet they are completely lost. If you're a newcomer, you're welcome. But if you've been here for a while and such transactions are happening in the spirit and you are not sensitive to receive your portion, then you will shortchange your life and only waste your time. I pray that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. I titled my teaching tonight, Stretch. And I want to provoke advancement in your life tonight. I'm trusting that you will rise by this teaching to higher levels and new dimensions. It's a call to press for more. I'm hoping to help you get dissatisfied with where you are tonight and to stimulate hunger, to stimulate a holy annoyance as to the fact that there is more that is for you in Christ. And that you should not be sitting with chickens when you are ordained to be flying with eagles. Stretch. Isaiah 54, 1 to 3. We'll look at two scriptures. Help us, Holy Spirit. We're learning your ways. Sing, O barren, thou that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Verse 2. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. It's an instruction. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. It says, spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Verse 3, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. I'm speaking to someone. You will break forth on the right and on the left. In the name of Jesus, breaking to allow for space, and your seed will inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 13. We're reading from verse 14 to 18. Genesis 13, 14 to 15. We're considering for a topic tonight, stretch. We want to rise to newer and higher prophetic horizons. And the Lord said unto Abraham after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where thou art, northwards and southwards and eastwards and westward, for all the land which thou seest, take note, all the land which thou seest, lift up your eyes. You cannot have that experience with your head down. Lift up your eyes and see. I will give to thee and to your seed forever. Verse 16. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Say, I receive. So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then that your seed shall be numbered. Verse 17. It says, arise, walk through the land in the length of it. Notice, he said, lift up your eyes. And then eventually he said, you arise and walk through the length and the breadth of it, for I will give it to thee. Verse 18. And Abram removed his tent. That was a very inconveniencing experience. He had pitched his tent already. Your tent represents your resting place. The place wherein when he comes to resort, he would rest. Abraham, on account of that which God had done in him, removed his tent and he came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. And he built there an altar unto the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. It's clear from scripture that God desires that we go from glory to glory. Proverbs 4 and verse 18 says, the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. More and more, it says. It is the heritage and the destiny of everyone who is in Christ. Who is in Christ, meaning the one who has consciously acknowledge the lordship of Jesus over his or her life. If you are here and you are saved, you're born again, then you are the one that I'm speaking about. God desires to bring us to levels where we maximize our destinies. We live the fullness of not only our prophetic destinies, but our lives as far as maximizing destiny is concerned. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, very popular scripture, the Bible says, and Jesus increased. He was not born that way, even though the Savior, he was not born that way, even though the Messiah, he increased in wisdom, he increased in stature, he increased in favor with God and with men. Praise the name of the Lord. So the idea of progress, the idea of evolving, the idea of becoming a better and more superior version of yourself is an instinct that God put in every man. It has nothing to do with what area of endeavor, whether you are a preacher, whether you are a businessman, whether you are a parent, whether you are a teacher, whether you are involved in politics, in leadership of any sort. The press and the passion to want to grow, to want to increase is in everyone. In fact, by our biological configuration and under normal circumstances, everyone eventually grows. When you give birth to a baby, it's usually not a prayer point from the mother, except otherwise. The baby should grow. All you need to do is to feed the baby with the right nourishment, breast milk, and so on and so forth, and eventually the baby begins to grow. And there are certain proofs that the baby is growing. Number one is increase in size. The initial clothes that the baby wore at the point of birth should eventually become too small for the baby. Am I right on that? You cannot be wearing the same clothes after a year, 2 years, 3 years, and so on and so forth. And there are children that grow so big, after 4 months, they look like they are 1 year. That's a child that is growing. You don't say the baby is growing too much. You are happy saying this baby is making commensurate progress. And then the baby begins to manifest potential features within him or her, like the ability to speak, the ability to walk. Eventually, you see tiny teeth projecting from the baby's mouth. Are we together? Eventually, he tries to mimic the mother, to mimic the father. These are all elements that attest to the fact that the baby is evolving. The baby is growing. Now, sadly, there are medical conditions that can inhibit a child from the normal course of growth. So after a year or two, it's possible to have the child not working, organs not fully formed, you know, not having speech problems and so on and so forth. We usually go to the hospital because that was not designed to be the norm. Growth, increase, progress, advancement, whether in the spirit or in life and destiny, is something God programmed in everyone. And like I've taught you in this house, part of the principles that control happiness, control fulfillment, and a sense of achievement is when you grow. I have taught you in this place that from a psychological standpoint, there are six factors that control fulfillment. I will keep drumming it until you learn. Number one is called security. To the degree to which you feel secured, that is the degree to which you feel fulfilled, psychologically speaking. Number two is called variety, newness. That's the reason why we celebrate milestones. We like new things. It's the reason why breaking news sells, because anything that is new provokes, you know, the desire of men. We like new things. Number three, significance. It's why we celebrate titles. When you add titles to our names, when you add awards to us, when you, you know, show honor in whatever way, men usually appreciate it, because it is part of the principles that control fulfillment from a psychological standpoint. Number four, love and acceptance. The fourth factor that controls fulfillment is love and acceptance. Sadly, it's the reason why many young people join occult groups and join all kinds of dark fraternities. The reason is because they desire to be loved and they desire to be accepted. Recall, I made a statement one time, at least once in this house, that one of the worst things that can happen to an individual is rejection. It's the reason why people fear rejection from social media. When only two or three people like or comment on your post, you can feel so wounded in your heart. The reason is you felt that you said something that was valuable and you expected a commensurate. You imagine that you send a post and there are 100,000 likes. It doesn't matter whether what you said is nonsense. Provided there are that many people, you feel very fulfilled, you know, that people are responding to you. So it makes you feel loved and accepted. Number five is growth. We desire growth, intellectual growth, biological growth, career growth. That's why people celebrate accomplishments like, you know, promotions and all of that. A general, for instance, never started as a general. He may start, you know, and as he progresses, you know, from the various ranks, he looks forward to becoming a general. So he celebrates where he is, and then he keeps transiting until he finally gets to a general. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So it's in men to grow. Finally, impact and contribution. You find fulfillment to the degree to which you believe or perceive or know for a certainty that your life is affecting people. When you know your life is blessing people, people are knowing the Lord because of you, loving the Lord because of you, walking in His ways because of you. That is the degree to which you find fulfillment. Everybody wants their lives to count. Hallelujah. They want their lives to count. Go to a restaurant, and if you have the opportunity to meet the woman who prepared the meal, when you eat the meal and it's a lovely meal and you comment lavishly, "Madam, you have changed my life. I'm always eating from your restaurant." The fact that she's impacting upon you on that wise gives her great fulfillment. Am I right on that? There are people who are blessed through their businesses beyond the monies that come. The fact that they know that they've been able to translate value in a way that directly speaks to the betterment of lives and societies is even a greater fulfillment than the profits that comes. And so all men desire to go forward. Nobody treasures stagnation. That's why when you are leading people to pray and you say, "In the name of Jesus, we rebuke delay, we rebuke stagnation, we rebuke all kinds of things," people shout amen with an unusual passion because they take it personal. They want to make progress. They want to move forward. When Peter was bound hand and feet and kept in the prison, it was an interruption to the Kingdom Come program. It was an interruption to his own life. He prayed, and God, in demonstrating his commitment to see us go forward, to see us make progress, he sent an angel who came to the rescue of Peter. Like, "Peter, I'm praying for you in the name of Jesus. You will enjoy angelic assistance." God will send the men, the spiritual factors and the resources that will push you from where you are to the place of prophecy. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the path of the justice as a shining light, it shines ever brighter even unto the perfect day. Two more scriptures. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 24. Exodus 34 and verse 24. It says, "For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge your border." Say amen. It says, "Neither shall any man desire your land," desire your portion, "when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord." That means God will give you your own space. We call it Rehoboth. God will bring you to your own resting place in the name of Jesus. Let me add one last scripture, Micah chapter 2 and verse 10. We've discussed this at one time in this house. Very powerful scripture. "Arise," he says, and depart, for this is not your rest. I've even preached a message on this, which you can get on our Koinonia Global YouTube page. This is not your rest. Very powerful message that provokes you to greater heights. So it's important for us to know that growth, progress, advancement is in every man. When a young boy goes to a nursery school, he desires one day, you ask that boy right from the nursery class, what do you want to become? And the boy says, I want to become a doctor or a pastor or whoever, based on those who are before him, modeling a great future for him. Are we together? And then eventually he begins to grow from the nursery school, as we call it here. He goes to primary or high school, you know, goes to college and so on and so forth. Eventually that child becomes a doctor, an engineer, whatever it is, you know, some businessman, and the person now grows, and you celebrate those milestones because it is in all men to grow. Someone say, I will grow. Hallelujah. God desires increase for us, and he desires that we make strategic progress. Now, the word stretch is, it captures within it a press for more. The word stretch captures within it the idea of breaking out of a comfort zone, of breaking out of status quo, breaking out of the norm, to press for the greater, to press for the higher, to press for the nobler. So when we are saying stretch, it's just a nice word to capture this idea that where you are is not the zenith of God's expectation for you. No matter how great you are, as a man of God, take for instance, no matter how you are flourishing in ministry, whatever kind of ministry he's called you into, there is a call, there is a beckoning of the Spirit that your level spiritually is not the highest that should be yet. Your level of the knowledge of the word is not the highest as it should be. The level of God's power over your life, grace can be added upon grace. No matter what you've seen God do in your life, there is always more. Someone prophesy, say, there is more. You are saying it to yourself. Say, there is more. Yes, sir. There are higher levels of the prophetic beyond the horizon that you're currently functioning at. There are higher levels of the apostolic ministry. There are higher levels of spiritual illumination. There are deeper and higher dimensions of strategic prayer, result-producing prayer. Are we together? There are higher levels of the anointing. You can access grace in a way that speaks higher and louder than it is currently speaking. Financially, there are higher levels of finances. You know that. Where you are, even from a financial standpoint, I believe and I'm convinced, I know you are convinced too, that that's not God's best for you yet. And we have defined a reference in this house that until you can support the program of God without it inconveniencing you, you are not yet there. The purpose of our desiring more, even financially, is to be so financially buoyant to advance God's program without it becoming an inconvenience to you. Hallelujah. For many of you, where you are career-wise, it's not the best. One of the ladies also who shared the testimony here, she said she desired more, and even though she had gotten some jobs, she still had one again, and she desired the best. That's, it's in all men. I'm praying for you. Whatever has stopped you from growing, from moving forward, in the name of Jesus, we crush it tonight. Yeah. There are people who are not backsliding, but they are not growing. What they are doing is maintenance of realms and levels. The same level in your prayer, the same level in your walk with God, the same level of spiritual understanding. Are we together? When you look at them, you can sense there's no increase, there's no energy that growth brings. The same level of wisdom. When you talk with them, you know they were at the same level in 2021, 2022. Nothing is moving in their lives. I'm here tonight to push you forward. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the thing with growth is that God designed, he designed something in all men. What you celebrate today, look at me, if you do not grow, that same realm will eventually frustrate you, because God programs something within you to be dissatisfied. Are we together? Yes.
We're not just talking of over ambition, but there is a healthy level of discontent that is required to push you forward. Every time God brings me into a new season as a person and as a man of God, I'm usually happy. I look forward to seeing the possibilities that can be afforded at that new horizon in the spirit. But sooner or later, I begin to have that dissatisfaction. And I know that it's intentionally put there by God. He puts it there because he wants to stretch me to another level. And then I walk with the Holy Spirit, and then we move to a higher horizon, then to a higher horizon, then to a higher horizon. One way you know you are healthy, one way you know that you are pressing correctly towards a great destiny, is that where you are and what you celebrated yesterday, it should give you dissatisfaction now. This is not discontent. You are grateful for where you are, but until you rise to the top, never settle for where you are. Are we together? Yeah. Greatly revered mentor says, dissatisfaction is actually a creative term. When you are dissatisfied, it propels you to doing much. It is true, even in ministry. When you become complacent and comfortable where you are, then the instinct to do more, to pray more, to rise more, to contend for greater levels of wisdom is not there. Some of you, like you may have heard me teach in this house, the reason why you have remained where you are is because you succeeded yesterday. You took one step forward and you stayed there. You've been mesmerizing upon and celebrating that one step. There's been no progress in your life whatsoever. There's a name we call such people, not an offense, but we call them local champions. So they compare themselves with mediocres just like them, who they are a little better off than. And they remain there. They don't grow, they don't press, they don't improve. But the path of the just is as a shining light. The spiritual path, the financial path, the destiny path, the career path. If that person is the just in Christ, are we together? It's as a shining light that shines more and more onto the perfect day. If you are understanding me, say amen. Amen. That means you know things are working well in your life when that anger remains. The anger, not to hate where you are per se, but to know that there is more. Someone again say there is more. Prophet, say there is more. Apostle, say there is more. Kingdom financier, say there is more. For as long as you do not know and you cannot agree with God that there is more, the impetus to press for more. Sometimes I inspire myself with materials and people who have gone ahead of me, both dead and alive, and it propels me to know that as much as what we are doing is great by many standards and references, but when you stretch yourself with a bigger reference, it now pushes you to go forward. I will never be satisfied, so here I am, fill me up with your presence. I will never be, man of God, never be satisfied, so here I am, fill me up with your presence. One more time. I will never be satisfied, so here I am, desperate for more. Desperate for more and more and more of you, Lord. I'm desperate for more and more and more of you. Hallelujah. Do you know the number of calls I receive every week now is increased by a factor I cannot explain? There's more sicknesses eating people. There's more trouble eating people. That for me is a call to stretch. Thank God for the level of grace. But for as long as there's still one person who is sick, there's as long as there's still one person who came for miracle service last year or last week or last month and still did not access certain things, thank God for the bit that we're able to do to help people and support lives and families. But imagine the much more that can be done. Someone say there is more. Hashtag that in your mind, that there is more. Not on your social media page. A hashtag with the blood of Jesus on your mind, that there is more. There is more that can be done. Greater sermons, there is more. Greater demonstrations of God's power, there is more. Greater potency in prayer, there is more. You can operate the gifts of the Spirit at a higher level. Who is learning? You can function at such prophetic frequencies that you single-handedly can deliver a nation. Single-handedly deliver a nation. That you rise to a level where when you say, thus said the Lord, a whole nation, whether believers or unbelievers, will pay attention to you because you have entered a level of mastery and accuracy. Your speakings are like the words of God. Are we together? When you call people to come for service or you call people to come for a meeting, you don't have to beg them. You are an embodiment of value. They know sitting under your atmosphere will transform them the way a dry cleaner washes a cloth from dirty to clean. They know that. So your presence becomes such an inspiration. Everywhere people see you, they want to come around you. Not for a celebrity status, because they have met a man who would not settle. They have met a man who will not settle. No plateauing in prayer. No plateauing in the word. No plateauing in wisdom. That people meet you and they want to have 2 minutes with you, because they know the opening of your lips is also the opening of their destinies. One word of wisdom. That when someone says, pray for me, they really mean it, because they have learned that there is power in your prayer. They know when you say in Jesus' name, it's not empty talk. People are in a hurry to receive blessings from you. They can travel from the end of the earth to come and meet you and hear one blessing. You know why? They know that you have the power. You have generated energy within the spirit that with one declaration, one, not two, not three, one. While they are in the air traveling 15 hours, 20 hours, their minds will make them think they are fools, but they say, no, I know the grace I'm coming to contact. It becomes worth it. A pastor can leave his assembly and travel by road, by air, only to contact you for 5 minutes. You are the closest representation of the possibilities of the kingdom. Trapped in one man. Trapped in one man. Wisdom trapped in one man. Favor trapped in one man. Power trapped in one man. Samana katalikata, grantaski manteshkeligata, regatepelekata. And do you know what? You are not even concerned about them. You are just concerned about stretching, evolving. I can't stop at this level. I've seen the power of God, but I can't stop at this level. I preach great sermons, but I can't stop at this level. I have understanding of the word, but I can press. There are layers, layers upon layers, layers upon layers, layers of wisdom, layers of grace. And do you know, the more you forget about people and stay until you are built, you become so valuable. Who ignores that kind of grace? Who ignores that kind of presence? Who ignores that kind of wisdom? It's one thing to think your prayer is powerful, but there are men who can attest to the fact that your prayer is powerful. It's one thing to think you are wise, but it's another thing for people to come as testaments, fruits of your wisdom. It's one thing to think you are favored, but it's another thing to see the mighty, undeniable manifestations of his favor. Someone shout more. You are speaking to your spirit. Say more. Come on, man of God, shout, say more. More, more, shaleketa, more. more. Pray in 1 minute, more. I can't stop here. I will be poor if I stop here. I can't stop here. I will be competitive if I stop here. I can't stop here. I won't do much for the kingdom if I stop here. My vessel is small. I need to stretch. I am still a clay. I'm not a dry clay. I'm the potter's clay. The potter can stretch the pot. Take a minute and pray in the spirit. Ministry can be greater than this. I can have greater results than this. No, no. This level of result is too epileptic for consistency. Someone is praying. Great sermon today. A bad one tomorrow. No, sir. Great worship today. A bad one tomorrow. No, sir. Accurate prophecy today and then another thing else tomorrow. No, sir. Someone pray in 1 minute. You are stretching. There is more that can be found within my spirit. New dimensions, new levels. One minute. One minute. You're not wasting your time. The Lord is stretching you. He is putting a holy anger.
Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow.
Shabata, rakata, 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 rakata. Shabata, rakata, 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 rakata. Temperantis kalikata. There is a level higher than this. There is a level higher than this. A level of ministry higher than this. A level of exploits higher than this. A level of prosperity higher than this. A level of influence higher than this. A level of walk with God higher than this. More than this, more than your current level of prophecy, more than your current level of revelation. Don't camp around this level. Be grateful for it, but there is more. More higher levels of entrepreneurial levels, understanding, intelligence. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Now listen to me. Listen to me. When God can find a people whose hunger never dies, He has found a people whose impact will never go down. When God can find a people whose hunger never dies, it doesn't matter what is happening. While men are on their way clapping, you are there stretching. Praying like you've not started. Giving like you've not tasted of prosperity before. Do you know? Let me tell you this. Honestly, and it's a kind observation. You'll still pray, but listen to me. I get shocked and surprised sometimes. Quite honestly, and this is just me. I get shocked and surprised when I hear the way sometimes we speak, particularly in this social media age. You see that now? I'm someone who is a very realistic person. If something is not good, I just know that this is not good. It can be better. So I'm that kind of person. So when I see people celebrating mediocrity, spiritual mediocrity, prophetic mediocrity, apostolic mediocrity, financial mediocrity, leadership mediocrity, I don't condemn them, but I feel pain in my heart. that we do not know, this is the bar that God has raised. And right from here, Abraham was not a failure. And God said, come out. I want to take you to a place. I want your children to be like the stars. The stars. Hallelujah. If there is one prayer that I cry to God for, even in this season, is that God will stretch me beyond my comfort zone. I thank God for what God has done. But I'm telling you, when I say it most times, people think I'm just preaching. I'm not preaching, no. I'm telling you the truth from my heart. Compared to where we are going, we're only one step out of the cave. One step. There are things to do for this kingdom. And it will be done in our lifetime. Did you hear what I said? For some of you, the level of financial weight that is in your destiny, if you have that idea, you will not celebrate peanuts right where you are. You will be grateful, but you will not celebrate peanuts. That it's in your divine ordination. You can literally become part of the pillars that hold God's program and stop it from falling. There are prophets, if you know what is in your prophetic ordination, we're not just talking of telling one or two people something as wonderful as that is. That your thus saith the Lord almost becomes like saying Genesis chapter this verse this. There are people, the wisdom of God that he intends to be revealed through your life will be greater than that of Ahithophel and Solomon combined. That it doesn't matter whether you're a politician or not. People will say, we have learned that the wisdom of God is with you. Please speak. Speak concerning this. They will fly you. They will travel with you everywhere. I'll be sharing a few keys. But I want us to pray and say, Father, I am tired of where I am. I'm grateful for where you brought me. But in this season, you are lifting people intellectually. You are lifting people spiritually. If you're a man of God, pray twice. I like you to cry. I'm tired of recycling the same realm. Recycling the same realm. I bring before you my hunger. Koinonia, pray. The global community of believers, pray. There is more. Higher levels of exploits in ministry. There is more. More strategic teachings that disciple nations, that mentor people. Higher levels of leadership. Greater levels of glory through your life. 1 minute. Tired of where I am. Stretch me, oh God. Stretch my life. Stretch my spirit, man. Stretch my mind. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. By the mercies of God, the journey from where we were to where we are now as a ministry, it didn't just come as a fulfillment of prophecy. It came because we were so dissatisfied with yesterday, we couldn't remain there. Are we together? And now that he's brought us here by mercy, as far as we're concerned, we're still 9 months in another womb. I don't consider myself a baby that is born yet. I just consider myself a healthy baby who is in a bigger womb. Still being incubated by the Spirit of grace. Still being stretched by the power of God. There is a release that will come out from us. I'm telling you, the kinds of people that God... You see, sometimes someone once asked me a question. Listen, someone once asked me a question and said, Apostle, why is it that you are always... It looks like it's very hard to please you. And I told the person, I said, well, I'm not sure you are right on that. I'm a builder. And so I gauge by prophecy people's standard. If I know you are operating at 9, even if you are 8.5, I will not let you rest. If I know you are at 4, I will leave you there. But once I discern that you are at 9, Even when the world is celebrating you at 8.5, I will pat your back and say, let's go back to work. So, Koinonia, you may be seeing me stretching you and you'll say, is it that we cannot take some time and celebrate these wonderful things God is doing? You are acting like you are not seeing it. I'm not seeing it, sir. I know what else I'm seeing. I'm seeing the you that nations will call blessed. I'm seeing the you that will prophesy and not bring embarrassment to the name of the Lord. I'm seeing the you who, as a young man, you will control billions for the kingdom. That captains of industry will make reference to you. Are we together? And yet you are not moved by it. I'm seeing the you as a politician. You will begin to be that knife that begins to cut between good and evil and bring order to society. And provided you have not become that person, I will not rest. You can do well, oh, do whatever you do, ministry-wise, but when we converge here, you see me coming again to sharpen you. To sharpen you. All the flatteries you receive from Monday to Sunday, is my assignment to lay them to rest here and propel you and say, let's move. I know you preached on Tuesday. They call you a powerful man of God. They are right, but compared to this standard, my brother, you are still a young man. Let's go. Let's push. Let's stretch. Let's push. Let's pray. Let's fast. Let's build. Let's stretch ourselves. Nobody becomes small when you're in the presence of people who are never satisfied. Never satisfied. Never satisfied. God has helped you financially, but you are not yet there. No, sir. You are not yet there. 1 million, 1 billion is great, but you are not yet there. Have you given the kingdom that amount? If not, sit down. Keep your jeep outside and let's learn. There is still more work to be done. There are still levels of glory, weightier levels of glory. As a man of God, thank God for all that you have done, but there is still more. Again, shout more. Someone shout it, say more. Even for Koinonia, blazing his fire across the nations, but we will still continue. Having over 500,000 people connect to listen across every week, but there is still more. You may be wondering what is propelling you. Is it not the time to sit down, pop wine, and say, I'm doing well? Not for people like us. That was not our agreement with God. When we say, on your mark, set, go, we don't stop till we are there. Even if you are leading, you don't stop. The goal is not to be in front. The goal is to finish. Goal is to finish. Who is learning? I'm challenging a people tonight who are already champions in their various regards. My assignment tonight is to deflate that thing because it's blowing like a balloon, and for some it's gone beyond proportion. And I've come to say, you know what? Stretch. There is more. There is more, sir. Oh, there is more. Man of God, there is more. There is more. There is more. Let the nations clap while you grow. Let the nations clap while you pray. Are we together now? One more time, say more. Say it again, say more. Please be seated. Please be seated. I run away from atmospheres that try to show like I'm doing well beyond certain proportions. I deliberately, it may just be my approach. Once you over-celebrate what I'm doing, I will respect you, but you will not see me there again. Do you know why? Because something happens to men. It's like a virus, especially when you are doing very well. People see you a legend. They consider you an inspiration to many. And truthfully speaking, you will have your results to show. But you see, this is where champions fail. Because until you surround yourself with an atmosphere, not an atmosphere that makes you demean what you are doing. No. Philemon 1 verse 6. Remember a popular scripture here, that the communication of your faith might be effectual through the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. Hallelujah. Someone, we're having a discussion with a dear pastor friend, and he was asking me what I was doing. And I told him I just finished a few things and I was just reading through my scripture. And then afterwards, I was going to listen to scriptures, verses. And then he made a statement. He said, Apostle, verses again. And I said, how many do I know? You know how many books are in the Bible? You know how many verses are there that can change lives? Just because you can quote a few. No. Until you carry this thing and put it here. That you become a living epistle. A living epistle. Are we together? Apostle, I'm a businessman. I'm an exceptional businessman. Compared to what? Who can invite you? Who has heard about you and could not sleep because your result was too notable? It was a product of mastery, not progress. Mastery. You have moved past the realm of progress to mastery. That someone interacts with you in 1 minute and calls 10 people, say you need to hear this guy. Do you know something I've learned with people? I'll be teaching you a few points now that will help you stretch. But listen carefully. In the presence of competence, you never beg for open doors. I'm telling you. Many people by themselves, because the rarity of competence makes it celebrated everywhere it is truly seen. The rarity. It's like a precious metal. In the midst of dust digging through, suddenly you find treasure in various proportions. And when people find notable treasure, they don't leave it there. Doesn't matter whether they know you or not. There are many things we are looking for that were designed to answer to competence and value, spiritually and otherwise. When you press in the spirit and you hit a level, there are things you will not pray for again. There are things you will not beg for again. In 1 day, people can call you from everywhere and say, we have learned that God is with you. We have learned that wisdom resides within you. We have learned that the power of God is at work in your life. Look at me. How many of you have seen 10, 20 posters in any city marketing a hospital? Have you seen such a thing? But is there any great hospital in a city that patients do not know? From one patient who was exceptionally treated by himself without being paid, he goes online and says, finally, I found a consultant who came from so and so. I was operated upon, and this. I am free right now. The testimonial from that one person, you will find out that there are 1,000 people having the same case. And he will even put the doctor's number there. And they bombard his phone saying, oh, I'm so and so. Please, can I see you? The man says, I'm busy. But if you can fly me down, say, oh, after all, I will fly you. I'm about dying. The reason why many of us are ignored is because you are celebrating value that by a global reference, it is still very low. Did you hear what I said? So among your peers and contemporaries and the people around, whether ministerially or otherwise, it looks like you are doing well and commendably so. But when you raise that bar to the reference of men that matter, it does not count. It's like a drop in an ocean. I'm saving you a life of regret so that you do not over-celebrate yourself too early. And then when God brings you to a certain kind of stage and you see prepared people, did you hear what I said? When you see prepared, not from a competitive standpoint, men and women who have paid their price in righteousness. I remember years ago, I used to prohibit these my people from going for any external ministration, not because I hated them, worship team then. I told them, I said, no, you are not yet at a level that your worship will bless the nations. And if you decide to release yourself at that point, you won't go far. You will just recycle around people, small people, and stay there and be angry when you see those who pay their price tomorrow. A gentleman once met me and said, Apostle, I want to have a direct, is it possible to have a direct mentorship? I said, you want me to mentor you? Really? Can you stand it? I know. I just laughed and I said, you don't love me that much. You'll be angry in 2 weeks. It's only because you have seen the results. God has a goal for you, and he's shown me. I've seen what God is making out of my life and your life. Do you know what God is making? He's building a certain species of believer out of you. I want you to please listen to me. He's building a certain species. There is a formation God is making out of your life. It will be so dexterous, you will not struggle to give him glory. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. A people so anointed, a people so transformed, a people so prosperous. There is a roadmap. Every week you are becoming it. It's taking a while, like a chef takes a while in the kitchen, but you pay attention to what is happening. God is making you. God is forming you. And tonight he's stretching you. And the first way he's doing is he's killing everything within you that is the reason for complacency. He's telling you, while you have done well, there is more, there is more, there is more. God is challenging a preacher following. You have done well, but you need to stretch. There is more. Don't celebrate the things you have simply because those around you do not have it. That's not the way victorious people walk. You set a bar in the spirit and you press towards it. Even if you are the only one doing that much, you still don't stop. The goal is not to outshine. The goal is to meet that reference, that standard. I know the standard God has set for me as a man of God, and I will not rest. I will give it my all, and I will give it my everything. Hallelujah. We live in a world, and particularly a city, where people celebrate success too early. Quite an observation. People celebrate success too early. And now, give it to them. It's good to celebrate, you know, milestones. But I think sometimes when you are not properly mentored, you will celebrate success too early. Too early. You hear a preacher talking and talking, and based on what they are describing, you will think it's the whole world. And by the time you look at it, it's not so much. It's a bar. You hear a businessman talking, and based on what he's saying, you will think he's talking something transcontinental. Until you look at the books, you find out that there's nothing there to attract any serious person's attention. A young man is saying, "Apostle, I'm an architect. Why have we not heard about you? Why have you not become so notable to fish yourself out of the many?" "I'm just a humble person." Is a lie. You are not competent enough, sir. You are not competent enough. I have never seen any native doctor's poster as plenty as even my own around any city. The native doctor, like you say, "I am a native doctor ABC. I have the supernatural power to help people." No. And yet, those who need him know where to find him. That's the power of value. They will roam around like they are missing in the night till they find where he lives. The reason why we are very loud on calling people to look at us is because our results are small. So we have to amplify by overpackaging and doing a lot of things. But what God is doing right now is breaking the lid of someone to say, "I am bringing you to a place of such dexterity and competence. As a man of God, that they invite you to preach. You don't preach your sermon and at the rest go back and say, 'Wow, it was something else.' Something else by what standard?" And you listen to it and there's nothing. What is the something else there? Not to condemn. Are you getting what I'm saying now? I'm speaking to champions. If I'm speaking to mediocres, I just say, let's pray. I'm speaking to people who are already doing something great, but not great enough. No. There is a high table in life. That's where champions sit. They watch for those who look like them. And when you are identified, you are elevated by grace through men to sit in a position that can allow you serve the grace of God in a way that makes impact. "This is my drive. You never see me settle. This is my drive. I study the Bible like I don't know anything, because in truth I don't. Compared to the riches that are embedded in this word, it's only a scratch. I learn about the anointing as if I don't know anything about the anointing. Thank God for what I've seen, but only God knows the virgin dimensions that are left, that people touched and tasted, and it became virgin to our generation. that somebody must explore through hunger until you touch those fountains, redig those wells, and reveal God in a more superior way again. Businessmen, we are doing well for ourselves, but not yet notable for the kingdom. Until you can give resources to God's program in a way that you become a mystery, that people have to investigate you and say, search this lady's life, search this young man's life. This level of wealth is too mysterious. We have to check. I hope they are not doing fraud. I hope they are not doing money laundering. I hope they are not doing rituals, because you have tapped into a level of wisdom that has translated to grace and value that may be inexplainable but undeniable. That you come to preach one sermon as a man of God, and if that is the one time anybody meets you, they will never forget that sermon because of the level of impact. Do you know, it's my prayer before the Lord. And last week, while our wonderful students were doing the things that they were doing, I was scattered somewhere in the crowd, and while I was watching them, I was looking at them with joy in my heart, and I was happy at what they were becoming. But something in you was crying, no, there is still more. On Tuesday, when I went to review their school of ministry, their practicum, because when we are done, we usually take the time to review. And after discussing, commending them, I still told them, there is more. There is more. You clap for yourself, so, but be careful who claps for you. There's a certain kind of clap that is almost like noise. But there's a clap that shows that you are doing well. I hope I'm not wasting your time tonight. I came to stretch you. I came to stretch you. Take away that golden crown for 1 minute. Shelve that achievement in 1 minute. And let me show you a few keys within the minutes that we have that can propel you to higher levels. A few keys that can propel you to newer dimensions. Whether you are a man of God in ministry, whether you are a businessman, whether you are a captain of industry, you are a leader in any capacity, settle for a fact that where you are is not God's best for you. It's time to arise. Say, I will arise. Pray in the spirit in 1 minute, and I list for you a few keys, and then we'll pray tonight. I'm very happy with what I sense God doing in our lives. Sanilandu sakaprendes kalabarantus yavadash. He won't stop. He won't stop till I look just like him. He won't stop. He won't stop till my life looks like him. He won't stop. He won't stop till I look just like him. In Jesus' name we pray. I want to hand over to you by the message of God a few keys. Ladies and gentlemen, behind the keys you are about to hear are mysterious lifting powers. Hiding behind these keys you are about to learn are the forces that elevate men from the place of mediocrity to the place of great grace and great glory. And it's my prayer that as I run through this list tonight, and then we pray, that God will, by this service tonight, plant a hunger in you, that when you go back, even where they are celebrating you, you thank them and say, I appreciate you, but you go back to the drawing board. For some of you, tonight is going to be one of the nights that God reminds you to go back to your drawing board, because you've left that place. You've been around the stage celebrating a lot of small things. And once that is commendable, God is saying, I want to stretch you to a higher level. There is much I can do with you. There is much I want to do with you. There is much I should do with you. And if you are malleable enough to allow me, then let's go. Pray in the spirit in 1 minute. Shalim barantoskia prahaska balandoskiata. In Jesus' name we pray. The first key for anyone who desires to stretch beyond your comfort zone, to step into higher prophetic horizons, higher destiny horizons in life, in ministry. Are we together? The first key is a burning desire. A burning desire. Hunger that cannot be quenched. A burning desire. A desire that your current achievement cannot swallow. A desire so deep. A desire so wide. A desire so large that nothing can make you settle. Please write that down. That is the first key. A burning desire. A burning desire to be an exceptional man of God for Jesus. A burning desire to be an exceptional potent intercessor. A desire to be such an anointed vessel that every sick body that comes near you, upon sighting you, they begin to rejoice because you have brought forth possibilities. An exceptional entrepreneur, an exceptional kingdom financier. That you not only prosper, you become the reason why others rise. An exceptional politician. Everybody say hunger. Say desire. A burning desire. You must have a great desire. A great desire. Now, let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. I have taught you in this house that hunger is proof of health. See, remember? To the degree to which you are hungry spiritually, that's the degree to which you are healthy spiritually. To the degree to which you are hungry intellectually, that is the degree to which you are healthy intellectually. To the degree to which you are hungry biologically, that is the degree to which you are healthy biologically. Hunger is connected to health. When your hunger dies, your health is failing. Are we together? Your spiritual hunger dies, your spiritual health is failing. Your hunger for prayer dies, your spiritual health is failing. Your hunger for the word dies, your spiritual health is failing. Listen, your hunger for the house of God dies, your spiritual health is failing. Your hunger for the things of God dies, your spiritual health is failing. Your hunger for fellowship with God dies, your spiritual health is failing. It's as simple as that. You can measure your spiritual health by measuring the extent of appetite and hunger. Appetite and hunger. That your heart pants after the word of God. Your heart pants after fellowship with God. Loving Him beyond your necessary food. You are healthy. Your heart pants to be in the house of God. The congregation of God's people, to learn His ways. You are healthy. Are we together? How about your hunger for knowledge? We're getting there, but your hunger intellectually. Many people are vibrant spiritually, but they are intellectually docile. They don't learn, they don't press. Are we together? The last thing they knew was the thing they read before they wrote their exam in the university, their final exam. That was it. They've not learned anything new. They don't press for knowledge. Very, very laid back in their understanding, with no sense of consequence whatsoever. Doesn't work that way. How about your hunger financially? That's not materialism. That's not carnality. It's a desire to become the best version of yourself and to have the wherewithal enough to live a comfortable life and advance God's program. Do you have that hunger? Nobody prospers financially if you do not have a hunger to prosper financially. It's not an obsession. No. Being hungry does not mean you're a glutton. Glutton is different from being hungry for food. The first key to anyone who wants to experience this stretch, especially that God is bringing in this season, is a burning desire and a hunger. Say, Father. Shout it like you came to church. Say, Father, plant within me tonight a burning desire for your presence, a burning desire for prayer, a burning desire for your word, a burning desire for your house. One more time, say, Father, plant within me from tonight a burning desire
for hunger, for your presence, a burning desire for prayer, a burning desire for the word, a burning desire for your house.
Yes, sir.
Sort the issue of desire. One thing I have desired, the psalmist said, and one thing I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That was his desire. One thing I have desired of the Lord, he says, and that will I, what? Don't tell me you desire a thing. Show me your press. Dr. Mudok will say, pursuit is proof of passion. Every time you pursue a thing, is because you are passionate towards it. Don't tell me you love the Lord and you desire Him, and you have to be forced to pray, you have to be forced to study the Word, you have to be reminded to be in the house of God. No, sir. No, sir. Everybody say desire. Number two. What is the second requirement? You want to be stretched to a higher dimension. Are you ready? You are going to have to pay the price for correct and higher perceptions. The price for correct and higher perceptions. Underline correct and underline higher. These two words are very important. An aberrated perception about life. I don't want to go into my message of week before last, remember? New wineskins. One of it I spoke about our worldview. I don't want to go into that. You can go and listen to the message. And then make reference to my message, think on these things. I teach there about the power of perceptions. Hallelujah. Correct perception. You want to rise to be stretched, you must journey with God and pay the price to see life correctly, see things correctly. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 11. What seest thou? He says, I see the rod of an almond tree. Verse 12 amplified. He says, thou hast well seen, for I am alert and active, watching over my word that you have seen, that has shaped your perception to perform it. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. If you cannot see higher and beyond your current horizon, are we together? Do you know? I was thinking to myself yesterday, and I said, decisions are more powerful than deliverance. To make a decision is more powerful than being delivered. Are we together? Because your decision is a demonstration of your willingness, whether to be delivered or whatever it is. So in order of superiority, learning how to decide is even more superior to getting delivered. That was just me thinking aloud. I just digressed to just recall something while preparing these notes. I am alert and active. There are many believers whose perceptions are aberrated. There's something we call a deja vu. You know what they call a deja vu? Hallelujah. Something that is, the perception is not correct. The nearer you, it's something that looks real, but it is not real. That's how it is. There are many people living in an illusion. In fact, it's called delusion. Are we together? Yes. Another psychological name for it, if I recall, is paranoia. Where people, they simulate things that are only real in their minds. But in reality, they are delusional about life. It's not real. There are many believers who are walking like that. And you know their delusion when they speak. They speak in such stupid ways. You know this person is doomed for failure, except God helps them. I just know between now and April, or now and I'm sure somebody will come. It will help me the way I'm seeing things. You know, for instance, if they give me a house now and give me a car, you hear that person? It's called delusion. It's not faith. It's delusion. Foolish thinking is a product of a low-level mindset. Now, the person does not have to be bad, But look at how that person is building his wall. Have you asked somebody, how do you plan to pay your rent? And he said, by God's grace, there are some things I'm working on. I said, can you just, with all humility, let me into your thoughts? And he said, well, I'm planning. I hear that they promoted one of my uncle. He has become a minister now. So based on my plan, I'm planning to greet him and hope that he gives me the money. What of your child's school fees? I know that all things being equal, there's one of my friends who has been nice to me. This is how they are planning their lives. It's called delusion. And they fire on all four cylinders with that kind of vision, only to crash land. And you know what? It always backfires. Always backfires. Hallelujah. Correct perception. You have to see things for what they are. Are we together now? Now, it is not walking by faith does not negate seeing reality the way it is. Faith superimposes the word of God over the current reality, but you have to know and accept it as the current reality. I don't have my house rent on ground for whatever reason, but by the faith of God, rent is coming. But at least you acknowledge I'm seeing life wrongly. I don't have strategic relationships in my life. Everybody runs away from me. There is something I'm doing wrong. Are you getting that now? After you see that, then you can use the word of God and correct that perception. Let me tell you this. Your life revolves around the correctness of your perception. You can carry an illusion, carry delusion, and build an empire that does not exist. There are many people like that. You can ask a pastor, so what do you think is responsible for church growth? And he says, well, I think people just don't like me. I'm not so-and-so tribe within this region. And you're saying, no, that's not correct. That's not correct. What makes you think, oh, people are like that? That's not correct. And you hear people say a lot of people just come and receive healings, and then when they are healed, they go. 99% of the time is a lie. People are not stupid. Nobody leaves what works. Nobody. You thought you healed them. They were not healed by you. Somebody lied to you that it was a powerful service. They are still where they were healed. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Listen, I'm challenging you to rewrite your mentality. Don't flatter yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Live by faith, but be brutally honest and sincere with yourself. Are we together? If things are not working, and as they are as a result of self-sabotaging decisions, don't just coin everything by faith and say, I know that things will work. Be brutally honest. Sit with yourself and say, I need to re-engineer my thinking. Something about my mindset is wrong. My mindset about ministry, wrong. My mindset about finances, wrong. My mindset about family life, wrong. My mindset about employment, wrong. My mindset about leadership, wrong. It's not self-condemnation. You are being sincere so that you can begin to grow. Can I tell you this? When people lie to you, it almost has no effect on you. But if you choose to lie to yourself, you have pegged yourself. Are we together now? Why are things not working in my life? Why am I not making strategic progress? I'm a man of God in ministry. Why am I struggling and people are not coming? Are you saying everybody around your environment is already saved and born again? Could there be something wrong? Why is it that finances does not come to me? I consider myself an honest person, but could it be that there's something I'm not seeing? The price of correct, and then for others you have a correct perception. But you need a higher perception. You see, reality is in levels. I hope you know that. Reality is in level. Geography used to teach us many years ago that the sun rises from the east and sets in the west. Am I right on that? Most of us were trained to understand that. And that is fine depending on who you are teaching. Now you get to another level of reality and then you are learning something new. That in truth, the sun does not rise, the sun does not set. Am I right on that? That the sun is static, I'm told, and the planets revolve around it. That's another level of reality. How many of you know that if you are an astronaut, you rise to another level of reality? We were taught that there were nine planets. Now I don't even know how many there are. I hope someone educates me after the service. I don't know. I honestly don't know how many planets. And if you're educating me, be sure you are right. Because your own too is relative. Hallelujah. Are we learning? Correct perception. What do you see? What kind of life do you see? Like I innocently taught here 2 weeks ago, I hope I'm not the one who's destroyed your worldview. I pray not. Many people have a very wrong view. It's the reason why a man can beat his wife, and at the end of it, he's still praying in tongues. It's not the hand that beat her. It's his mindset that beat her. The hand only obeyed his thinking. Are we together now? Or the woman that causes trouble to the man and said, you have married me in this house. It's me that will kill you. You don't know who you married. It's not her mouth talking. It's her mind. The mouth is only obeying what is inside here. Do you know your body is an obedient servant to your mentality and your perception? When things go wrong, don't blame your body. Blame the thinking engineering those actions. Everybody say perception. One more time. Yeah. You need to learn to believe life like a kingdom person, like one who comes from above. Now, there are wonderful aspects of culture that must be preserved, but there are dangerous and destructive aspects of culture. There are wonderful aspects of ministry, but there are destructive aspects of ministry. I have met preachers, especially young preachers, and sometimes they come sincerely for prayer and maybe for counsel. And you look at the person, you see a loving person, but that man is laced with a poor mentality. Somebody has already mentored him in a way that there's no possibility for victory in ministry with that mindset. At that point, you don't even know how to pray for the person because you know you are wasting your time and his time. The mentality will defy anything and still produce a bad result. I pray for you. Where you have seen life wrongly, through the lens of the negative aspects of culture, where you have seen life wrongly, through the negative aspect or through the mentality of wrong people, I pray that God will correct it now. In the name of Jesus Christ, correct your perception. Man of God, correct your perception about ministry. There is a way of thinking about ministry that will leave you defeated. There is a way of thinking in ministry that will make you gather enemies for the rest of your life. There is a way of thinking in ministry that you will be fighting battles, both needed and needless. There is a way of ministry that may give you peace now, but you will never make progress. There is a way of ministry that will never bring membership to come and sit and listen to you. Businessman, there is a perception that when you have, your company cannot grow. It's not about sincerity of heart. You have not sustained within you the belief systems that allows for the scalability of your business. You cannot be thinking small, thinking mediocre. Are we together? And then you want to produce a champion's result. No, sir. No, sir. It's like putting a little bike and carrying the engine from that bike and you want to power a Boeing 737. Does it work, ladies and gentlemen? A Boeing 3737, as much as I've, is powered by two Rolls-Royce engines. And you cannot remove the engine of a bike or Keke Napep and then you want to power an aircraft with it. Nothing wrong with that engine. It is only too small for that kind of possibility. Some of you have a very great destiny, but the engine, which is your mind, is not powering it enough. Are we together now? Have you tried to own a, say, 5 kVA generator, and you try to power a house that takes a total of, say, 14 kVA? The gen will just die there. It will knock right there. Do you know why? Nothing is wrong with the gen, but it was not designed to power that kind of house. Many of you have a great destiny, as big as a Boeing 737, but the engine, so you need a replacement. I come here in the spirit of an aero mechanic. I'm going to do a surgery there. Are we together now? In the name of Jesus Christ, there are some of you from tonight, you are beginning that journey of replacing your mindset. God will give you an engine that can drive that plane, drive that vision, drive that destiny. 40,000 feet above sea level, you are still flying. In the name of Jesus. It is true. When the body of a thing spoils, you usually can fix it and even replace another body. But oftentimes when the engine of a car or something spoils, they advise, after touching and touching and touching, they say, you know what? You are wasting your time, our time, and your money. Just buy a new engine. Is that true? And you can see the car looking ugly, but if you put a new engine, it will run in a way that will surprise you. Some of you, that's your destiny. Don't say you are too old. Allow the Spirit of God do that working in you. Who is allowing God tonight to do that work? It may not make sense, but be patient with God. Don't just say, I'm a businessman, and you're driving your business with a failure's mentality. Don't say, I'm a man of God, and you're driving ministry with a loser's mentality. The parameters must be defined. Must be defined. I told you, Satan is flattered. Especially in Nigeria, because we have credited many things to him that he has no hand in. Honestly, our mentality by itself has programmed wars and kept us defeated. The second factor, if you want to stretch, is to work on your mentality, your belief systems. What do I believe about God? What do I believe about life? What do I believe about success? What do I believe about failure? What do I believe about ministry? What do I believe about kindness? What do I believe about Satan? What do I believe about favor? What do I believe about diligence? What is my definition of favor? Are we together? There are people who redefine favor based on their mentality. Here's their definition of favor. An aid that is given to a lazy, entitled and irresponsible person, hopefully to continue simply because the person comes to church. That's their definition of favor. If that definition does not change, you may never experience favor, because favor is not a call to irresponsibility. Are we together now? So there are people, you hear them saying, I believe in favor. What they mean is that I am so lazy and fearful. I don't want to do anything in my life. I'm hoping someone does the job and comes to give me the reward. Doesn't work that way. Mentality is everything. I'm taking time to pound on this second point, ladies and gentlemen, because as different as our faces are, believe me, it is not only our problems, our belief systems are that different. And our possibilities are driven, powered by our mentality. Let me ask you to lay your hands on your head in 1 minute and pray. And say, Father, please work upon my belief system. Go ahead. Let there be a thorough work of editing upon my mind. In the name of Jesus, every belief system that is inconsistent with a spiritual man's pathway, every belief system that is inconsistent with the path of victory, take it away from me. Every belief system that leads to failure, every belief system that is punishing me, recycling pain, empowering demons, maintaining curses, every belief system that is powering laziness, every belief system that is killing my tomorrow, I submit it to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Number three. The third key. Wherever we stop tonight, we'll find somewhere to pray. Are we together? The third key, if you want to stretch, is light. High level spiritual illumination. Write that down. Light. L-I-G-H-T. High level spiritual illumination. If you know more, you can do more. That is the truth. You are limited not just by your mentality, but by your know-how. There is such a technical word as know-how. Intellectual wherewithal. Where you do not have the intellectual wherewithal to power your dreams. Leadership is powered by knowledge. Business is powered by knowledge. Ministry is powered by knowledge. Driving people, coordinating things is powered by knowledge. If you do not know, there's nothing you can do. But the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. The people that sat in darkness, perhaps they did not even know they were in darkness. They have seen a great light. Look at me. I understand you have a great vision. But how many of you know that every possibility in the kingdom I have taught you has a requisite level of knowledge that connects to it? Do you still agree with me on that? Every dimension of possibility in ministry, financially, in life. Look at me. Do you know, I give you an example. You want to become a certain kind of man of God in righteousness. There is a level of not just mental transformation, but knowledge, know-how. There is a body of light, a body of information. If you do not have, you cannot become that person. Even if you have a changed mentality, you need knowledge. Mentality is to a life what an engine is to a car. But knowledge is to a life, watch this, what fuel, gas is to a car. The engine can be right, but if you just do not have fuel, the car will not move. It's not an engine problem, it's that you do not have fuel. There are many people whose mentality is healthy enough to host a great life, but they know so small. 1 Corinthians 8:2. It should be an anthem by now in this place. Shouldn't be strange to anyone. Let's read it together. One, to go. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he says he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Take note, as he ought to know. There is a level of knowledge that powers the healing anointing. There is a level of knowledge that powers kingdom wealth and prosperity. There are many, many people who want to be blessed. Financially, for instance. There are a few questions, if you ask them, they will get angry. And they'll tell you, look, don't ask me all those questions. All I know is that it is God that prospers. But he prospers through knowledge. Everybody shout knowledge. One more time, say knowledge. Now here's what I want you to do. Listen to me. I want you to match every level of dream and vision you have. And find out the level of light, the level of knowledge that connects to that possibility. That means you are trusting God as a pastor to lead a congregation of say 1,200 or 2,000 people. That's a great vision in righteousness, provided your heart is pure. But just believing God, as we say, is a total waste of your time, especially if you do not know what you are saying. Knowledge is the key. Let's go to the kitchen for 1 minute. How many of you, don't lift your hand, don't lift your hand. But how many of you are confident? I wonder how I plan that we know it. But how many of you are confident that if they put you in a kitchen right now, you can cook for all of us here? I didn't say you can cook for you and your family, all of us. And we will smile after a few hours. I'm tempted to say you should raise your hand, but I don't want you to embarrass yourself. Because there are people who will still not learn with everything I'm saying. They will still raise their hand, even though they know they are lying. But do you know, ladies and gentlemen, while it is a shock to you, there are people who have gained mastery that much. If they have their way, they can cook for a nation. There is a science to cooking well. It's not just what mommy teaches or daddy teaches. There is. They can tell you for this number of heads, these are the ingredient combinations and with precision. How do you think great brands like McDonald's and KFC feed the whole world? There is a formula. You don't know the formula, but it is there. Imagine what other formula you do not know. There is a formula that keeps men. There is a formula that raises men. It is called knowledge. I'm praying for you. The knowledge gap between you and your next level, the knowledge gap between where you are and your prophetic destiny, man of God, the knowledge gap between you and the next level of ministry, I decree and declare, may the Holy Ghost, in partnership with the Word, bridge that gap in your life. 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 There is a knowledge gap between where you function in the miraculous and the next level, the intended level, the prophetic level. It's not just anointing. There is a knowledge gap. It's a knowledge gap. Knowledge gap. Someone once sent me just sent a text. Usually I don't attend to those kinds of texts. But the person just sent a link and said, I just produced a song and I thought that you don't know me, but I want you to listen to it. I said, oh, interesting. Let me listen to it. I clicked on it and it took me somewhere that I was listening to. And while I was listening to the song, great, whatever, but I mean, the wordings were not word compliant. And I knew that the person, he or she, I don't know, was a sincere person. Maybe the person is even following online. And I saw that this was a great job, but a lot was not done well. Can you see that? Great melody. That person can have dreams of the world getting blessed by their worship. But because of that knowledge gap, everybody say knowledge gap. Now, if believers are not so taught, guess what that person will be doing? Father, everybody must listen to this. You must force Joshua Selman. He must listen to this. He will even have to sing my song. And that, will that prayer be answered? No, it will not be answered. Knowledge gap. Don't claim things arbitrarily. Trust God for grace to grow to knowledge. Are we together? To a level where you have capacity to host those things naturally. I was listening to this, our dear lady sing her song. Very powerful song. And I was blessed. For me, it was the wordings first. Takes a lot to impress me. The wordings first. Are we together? The wordings first though. Which part of it will kill me as I'm singing? Because I understand the power God gave me. I won't sing myself to defeat. Are we together? May God bless you, my people, again. Yes. Bless her for a beautiful song. You see, you can train people to cover that gap. This is where the power of the word comes. Are we together? If you cannot endure doctrine and endure the ways of God, you will be doing many sincere things, but because they are not word compliant, you cannot secure the attention of heaven. There are many people doing many sincere things. Sincerity is good, but not enough to deliver for you the more. This is my testimony. You are my testimony.
You are my testimony.
I have a testimony.
I have a testimony.
Knowledge. Knowledge. I pant for knowledge as if when I find a book that contains something that can change my life, written by someone who's demonstrated the result, I devour it. Whether it's electronic version or whatever it is, I find a resource that can help me. I'm not too proud to argue and keep make. I listen to it. Listen to it. I listen to it. Some of you are great worshipers. God has given you the voice already, but your wordings are satanic, whereas your voice is angelic. I'm not insulting you. You have to re-engineer yourself. You sing songs like an idol worshiper with a beautiful voice. What you need is knowledge. Say knowledge. Shout it again. Say knowledge.
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Sing like a child of God. Ah, and it flows like a river to the hearts of those who receive. Bringing cleansing, bringing empowerment. Someone listens to your song and the Holy Spirit can write through your song and plant faith in them. You imagine going to sing a song like this. Lord, you are my testimony. I have a testimony. That kind of song can already bring the spirit of faith. Are we together? Knowledge. You're a businessman here, you need knowledge. You're a man of God here, you need knowledge. Go and find out what you do not know. Write it like an assignment. Go and find out what you do not know that needs to drive you to the next level. You are a business person. Be honest with yourself. What do you know about marketing? What do you know about branding? What do you know about customer relationships? Are we together? What do you know about packaging your value? What do you know about the role of the internet in helping your products go far? What do you know about scalability of business? Apostle, my own is small. That's the point. You can start small, but don't remain small. Man of God, what do you know about maintaining people? What do you know about running a ministry? At Address the areas of ignorance in your life. Don't be ashamed. Don't let it condemn you. Don't be embarrassed. Oh, go back and listen to this message again. It's an instruction in righteousness. Shamalakatabada. I need to find out. My finances are not working. Ministry is not working. Let God be true and every man a liar. There is a knowledge gap. Holy Spirit, help me. You are the spirit of wisdom, the quickener of my mind. And the Spirit of God leads you from one message to one book, to one verse, to one scripture. And the puzzle begins to connect. At the end of it, you say, I found it. And all of that you found will become like a passcode. You know how you put an email and a password. The various knowledge you are piecing together is like your password. This plus this plus this plus this. Enter and destiny opens. Say you are ready to walk. You got it right. And you step into the next thing. Have you entered a password and it says your email or your password is wrong? You are sure your email is not wrong. Usually what is the problem? The password. Your password is the knowledge gap. That email you see is salvation. It was put to you. Jesus placed it there, but there is a password to enter. A lot of people can type nonsense for years, correct email, and there are certain devices that will give you 4 or 5 chances. Once and it says there are 4 more. Beware. That means every step. And sometimes it gives you an option. It says if you are humble enough to admit that you've forgotten it, you can reset it. But what do you think my people will do? They will try 3, try 2, try 1. It says you have been banned. Which one is more expensive? To have humbled yourself from the beginning. For someone, you have one chance this night now as you are seated. You've done your 4 and God is saying, don't try foolishly. You have only 1 million naira left. You have destroyed your finances. You have only 1 friend left. You've driven 30 of them. Just press that reset and start again. It will give you an opportunity to now type a code and the Holy Spirit can hold your hand and type something more sustained. I'm enjoying what I'm saying. My goodness. It's entering your spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Knowledge gap. Close that knowledge gap and see the fire that comes upon you. Close that knowledge gap and see doors that open. Close that knowledge gap and see realms open up to you. I prophesy over you in the name that is above all names. Beginning from tonight, by knowledge, go forward. By knowledge, go forward. By knowledge, make progress. Push beyond limits. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Let me give you number 4 very quickly. Number 1, burning desire. Number 2, correct and superior or higher perception. Number 3, light, high level spiritual illumination. Cover the knowledge gap. Destiny actualization, scaling from one height in destiny to another is knowledge dependent, light dependent. Number 4, wisdom. Wisdom. The 4th requirement, if you want to stretch to a new level, a higher prophetic horizon, is wisdom. What is wisdom? How to profit from truth. Wisdom is how to derive profit from truth. How to profit from knowledge is called wisdom. You can have knowledge, but knowing how to profit from it is called wisdom. You always know wisdom is there because there is always profit with wisdom. The assignment of wisdom is not to make available, is to make profitable. Knowledge is concerned with availability. Wisdom is concerned with profit. Your life begins to profit when wisdom comes, not just when knowledge comes. Knowledge is the seed for wisdom. Without knowledge, you cannot have wisdom. But the profit point of your life is when wisdom comes. Shout amen. Amen. Wisdom. Let me give you 2 scriptures. Very quickly because of our time. 2 scriptures. Proverbs chapter 3, 13 and 14. Proverbs 3, 13 and 14. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Verse 14. The merchandise, the rewards, the returns of it is better than the returns of silver and the returns of gold. There are many of you here who have gold jewelry. Some of you are wearing them in their various forms. You know that you can carry your jewelry and take it to the market and literally return back with 500,000, 1 million, 2 million, whatever it is. And yet the Bible says to the one who has gold, the one who has silver, and the one who has wisdom, don't compare them. They are not the same. He's saying that wisdom can transact with life for you and deliver for you a more superior return. Say wisdom. Like you are receiving. Say wisdom. The ability to profit from knowledge. The Bible says through wisdom, Proverbs 24 and verse 3, a house is built. A house is built. A house is built through wisdom. Any house, any life, any destiny amplified says is built by wisdom. I'm praying for someone in the name of Jesus. The grace to start living a rewarded life. The grace to begin to profit from wisdom. May God impart that grace upon you. Can I give you number 5? The fifth key, diligence. 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 Proverbs 14:23. You want to stretch, you need to be a diligent person. What is diligence? Void of inertia, void of laziness. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor, there is profit. It says, but the talk of the lips only tends to penury. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, and he shall not stand before mean men. I just described you in Jesus' name. Amen. That by the power of diligence, you know what diligence is? The stamina to stay and walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Look at me. Let me describe for you very quickly the picture of diligence. You wake up when you should wake up. And only sleep when you have justified it by good work. Are we together? No snoring through your day when you have not justified it by efficient labor. What is diligence? Reading the book, whether it is convenient or not. What is diligence? Listening to the messages. The discipline to obey the rituals that produce victory. Are we together? The rituals of prayer. The rituals of the word study. The discipline to do what you need to do. Your job in the office, to get it done on time and to get it done excellently well. One of the dangers of diligence is emotions. If you bring your emotion into the picture of your destiny unnecessarily, it will rubbish your becoming. You can't wait till you feel like reading. You can't wait till you feel like praying. You can't wait till you feel like fasting. You can't wait till you feel like giving. You can't wait till you feel like learning. You can't wait till you feel like being disciplined. No, sir. You must move past the realm of emotions. Are you learning now? Diligence. The diligent hand shall be made fat. The diligence is the man who plows the land even when it is raining. Rain is falling on him and yet he's farming. The picture of his harvest is greater than the inconvenience of that current moment. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you this? Any diligent preacher will also be a great preacher, stretched to a level of greater kingdom influence. Any diligent businessman, disciplined, diligent, we need to be careful and manage our appetite for comfort. I didn't say avoid it. Manage your appetite for comfort, especially when you are just starting in life. Manage your appetite for comfort. Are we together? You cannot get your first job and you want to live as comfortable as someone who has been working for 20 years or someone who has been doing business non-stop. Investing and reinvesting for 10 years, the quality of your lives may not be the same. Accept the momentary inconvenience because you are building something greater. Who is learning? Our world has an obsession for convenience. There are times I know if I pray lying down, one eye will start closing, the other one will open. So rather than doing all of that, I just get up. The difficulty is to stand up and I start walking around. And I'm convincing myself, I'm doing two things. I'm fulfilling my daily steps, you know, daily exercise steps, as well as praying. Win-win. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Destiny open up.
while you are renewing your strength. Lord, I'm waiting upon you in various ways, health-wise, spiritual-wise. Let both of my strengths, medical strength and spiritual strength, be renewed like the eagles. You are praying. In the name of Jesus. When I'm tired and I kneel down, I find a scripture. For this cause, I, Paul, I bow my knees to the Father of our... Are we together? In the name of Jesus, let me first pray for the men, then I'll pray for everybody. I pray first for the gentlemen. The power of laziness and entitlement mentality. You see these two things? Let me call it before I rebuke it. The power of laziness and entitlement. I'm praying for you from my heart. Don't be ashamed if there's any one of you here who is a victim of laziness. Laziness also includes procrastination. I will do it one day. I pray for you. May it die permanently this night. May it die permanently this night. Gentlemen, everyone, but gentlemen particularly, shout it, say, I receive grace to do it now. Say it again, say, I receive grace to do it now, to pray now, to study now, to call the client. Well, after service, not now. Are we together now? Don't let the devil cheat you by wasting your days. Anything worth doing, once the road is clear, it is worth doing. Who is God speaking to? Somebody you should have called in January. By now, God would have honored you. He showed you, but you wasted time. The person even said, come and meet me by 5. You are not doing anything. You are not married. You don't have a wife. You don't have children. Yet you came by 7. Are we together now? Grace to do it now. I'm showing you how to stretch. There is a discipline component to stretching. Discipline components, sir. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm supposed to put all my books together. Do it. I'm trusting God for a bigger house. I'm staying in one room. He's giving me the grace for a 2-bedroom flat. I need to go and look for it. Say now. Yes, sir. Now. The cheapest bargain with life is to do it. Every day becomes more expensive. Every day. The price changes. If it was 10 naira worth of labor, by tomorrow the price goes up. You may be holding 20 naira in your hand now, but your destiny may become too expensive for you because of delay. Who is learning? Do it now. I'm praying again for someone. Go and register the CAC, the company, after this service. For someone, go to the library and buy the book. For someone, you put together a file of Koinonia messages for the last 1 month. You've not listened to anyone. And you see, the danger is when people scroll through your phone, they think you are very serious with God because of the arrangement. But you and God know you are joking and wasting your time. I pray for you the grace to do it now. The grace to pray now. The grace to fast now. The grace to be diligent now. Receive it in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Let me see if I can give us 1 or 2 within the time that is left. For someone, this is your prophetic word. You came to church to hear, do it now. Do it now. Don't waste time. Do it now. You said you are going to do the visit. Do it now. You are submitting the CV. Do it now. You are reading about leadership. Do it now. You are going to register for an online course. You have the money. You have the time. You have everything. Do it now. 5, 6. Let me give us 2 more for sake of time. I have 10, but I'll just give us 2 more. Time is gone. You're laughing. I have 10 factors. One to stretch to the other side. Going to the other side is not cheap. You are breaking new grounds. 10 points here, but I'll give us maybe 7. One day, remind me to finish the remaining 3. Are we ready? Number 6. Now listen. Don't get used to this, but it's a very powerful point. Relationships. Strategic relationships.
or the power of strategic relationships. Write that down. The power of strategic. Make sure you write strategic relationships. In Matthew chapter 4 from verse 18 and 19, I'll give you one scripture there. Jesus walking by Galilee, he saw two brethren, the Bible says, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Verse 19, and he said unto them, everyone read with me, one to go, and I will stop there. Read from follow me again, one to go, and I will, one more time, you are made by who and what you follow. It says, follow me and I will make you. Follow me. Follow me. Become friends with me. Connect to my atmosphere. Connect to my energy. Connect to my mindset. And there will be an implication on your life and your destiny. He that walks with the wise shall be wise himself. Are we together? It says, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Fools there don't just mean fool like an insult. It's a description of those who are void of knowledge. He said they shall be destroyed. Relationships. I have taught it in this house and I will teach it for every other time God grants me the privilege of speaking with you. My life has changed because of the power of strategic relationships. Say that after me. Strategic relationship. Say it like you are calling them to your life. Strategic relationships. Men and women anointed by God. Men and women ordained by God to become a leverage. That's the word. Beautiful word. A leverage. A leverage. A leverage. You know what a leverage is? A mechanical word for it is your gear system. For those of us who drive. Those of you who ever drove the manual car, there's gear one, there's gear two. You know what happens? Every time you engage the gear, what is the corresponding effect? Speed. Are we together? The speed connected to gear three or four or five is different from the speed connected to gear one, because there is a system of leverage. It allows for a faster rotation and it allows the car to move faster. That's how relationships are. One relationship in your life, I'm telling you, can take you from gear one, sometimes to gear three or four. There are men who are as heavy as an army. One man. One man. Hallelujah. They can make things happen in your life at the frequency of their reputation, at the frequency of their sacrifice. Can I tell you something in life? Everybody you see answers to somebody. Did you hear what I said? Everybody answers to somebody. Your assignment is to find who answers to those somebody's on time, and you have found a great leverage. There are people today, quite honestly, as a man, I had no business helping and doing certain things too, but those who came in between them and me were people who I love and I honor so much. Some of them, I honestly don't have the power to tell them no. Leverage. Hallelujah. There are people today who got admission because of relationships. There are people today who came out of prisons because of relationships. There are those who should have been there, but they didn't go there because of relationships. There are people who have received houses they are staying in, they are not paying for it. Relationships. There are people today whose children have gone to certain great schools. Relationships. Where have you stopped in life? Courtesy relationship. Where do you need to get to in life? Courtesy relationships. Are we together now? Let me use two people very quickly and demonstrate something for you. Two gentlemen, come. Come. Come, Coyote. Come, Kenny. Protocol, excuse them for a while. Stand here, Coyote. Or how do I? Okay, let me stand up. I need all of you to see. Watch this. Please stand in front of me. Kenny, you stand behind me. Now watch this. Coyote represents your future. Kenny here represents where you are.
I represent the relationship that takes you to that level. Are we together? Now, give me your hand. Give me your hand. This is where God ordained for you to go to. This is where you are right now. Both of you stretch your hands. There is a gap. This gap you see, as short as it is, can be your lifetime remaining in one place. Listen carefully. This is God wanting to help you. This is your helper. He's stretching a hand, does not know who. You see that? Here is my assignment. I have access to this. I have access to this. And let me tell you the truth. Sometimes, this is the case. This is you. But the other person is like this. The person can be close to you, but he's gone through so much pain. If he lifts his hand, it will touch you, but he refused. So God will bring somebody who he respects and says, you know what? For the sake of this person, let me hold your hand. Let's do it together. You are not watching a drama. Some of you, this is where you are right now. You are close. You are in an office. The person to lift you is there. You have seen it, that is the person God ordained. But the person, as an act of his will, unfortunately, before your arrival, many young men brought pain to that man. And he said, I won't help anybody again. You happen to be a victim of his conclusion. You will need somebody. I'm saying this to you so that when I pray, you will know who you are praying for. Here's what you are doing. Father, you are the Father of spirits. Raise somebody for me in this season. I am not lazy, but I am limited. I've stretched my hand. This is prayer. This is diligence. This is fasting. So your hand is stretched, but the person can stretch his hands. And do you know, some of them are so powerful, they are holding other people too. So if they stretch to you, other hands will come too. So instead of looking for the 10 people, this man has access to the 10 people. If he moves towards you, he will force them to also honor you. Now here's what Satan does. When Satan does, he comes here. Through anger, he pushes you backward. Through dishonor, he pushes you backward. Through pride, he pushes you backward. Look at how he's making life miserable for you. You were once close. Let me show you what favor does. When favor comes in between, by the mercy of God, this is what it does. Connects you and locks it there. Favor locks it there. Favor does not just bring you together. It cannot. Favor locks it there. I'm saying it prophetically. Locks it there. Now, you see, let me tell you this. When you see a man that God has done this to, sometimes you don't see the middleman. Because sometimes that middleman is God himself. I wish you would believe what I'm saying tonight. And you will watch your life turn like night and day. Are we together? Every man is ahead of you. Every man. This man too, there is somebody ahead of him. So let me tell you how God really helps men. When God wants to help Kenny, I am ahead of him. He is ahead of Kenny in this example. You see it now? Do you know what God will make me do? God will make me interested in him. Because you are following me, what will you do to me? When God wants to punish your enemies, he makes the person they respect to honor you. Think about this, then you will understand. Even your enemies respect somebody. When God wants to really honor you and punish your enemies, he will make somebody they respect to now respect you in their presence. You know who that happened to? Haman and Mordecai. Haman! Come and saddle your donkey and saddle whatever. Haman thought it was him. He said, do it to Mordecai without fail. And you carry the chariots and say, this is how it is done to the man whom the king pleases. Ladies and gentlemen,
I wish I could kneel down here to tell you, cry for favor. Cry for favor. Take away favor from Koinonia. You have taken away 10 years from the story of this ministry. Take away favor from my life. There is nothing left. It is not so much because we are the wisest. It is because we have found favor with God. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
This is my testimony.
Ebu Edike is my testimony.
This is my testimony.
Ladies and gentlemen, for someone, you came to church, watch me. You are a businessman. Your helper is this way. As we begin to pray, there is a hand, an invisible hand, that will stretch that connection in the spirit. And I'm saying it from the depth of my heart. For someone, strangers will start calling you after this service. What did you say you need again? Sir, I'm even afraid to say it. Say it. How much is it? 10 million for my business. Why didn't you tell me last year? Send me your account. And that's the end of it. It is not laziness. It's a leverage. God can help a man. There are pastors in this season. Because you have demonstrated diligence, God will connect you to establish men. Not just financiers for your ministry, supporters of your life. They will say, provided you are in ministry, just know that there is someone backing you. And it's not always about money. There are others who have access to systems. They will never let you cry under their watch. Sent by God. Someone shout, sent by God. Say it again. Say, sent by God. Help us, sent by God. Lift us, sent by God. In the name of Jesus. Now let me prophesy. The distance between you and the one ordained by God to help you, to lock hands and lock minds, I shorten that distance by favor. I shorten that distance by favor. I decree and declare, every man and every woman ordained of my Father to participate in your rising, in that of your children, your business, your ministry, before May is ended, may the God of my covenant connect them to you. 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 Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. I've taught you in this house, you are as fortunate as who believes in you. You are as fortunate as who agrees with you. You are fortunate as who is willing to invest his life, his reputation, his credibility. Life is as hard as your absence of helpers. If there are no helpers in your life can be unbearably hard. There's an anointing on that song. Oh, we'll still sing that song again. Whether now or after, there's an anointing on that song. I'm telling you. God is giving someone a testimony. You are going to hear many testimonies because it's time to push you to the next level. But some of you, you just need one helper. And honestly, the way you are, if a helper does not show up, you will not rise. It's because you have vowed not to compromise. Again, I pray for you. Some of you, this week, let it not exceed Saturday. May a helper arise. I place prophecy on your head. Let it not exceed Saturday. Let it not exceed Saturday. May God give you a testimony. I can tell you how my life shifted to various levels, courtesy the presence of men, sent by God, not searched for by you, When you try to meet men and search for them by yourself, sometimes they will frustrate you. But when God sends them, they are on assignment. Helping you is a ministry, not a privilege. They would do it with a preacher's commitment. You will even think there are strings attached. There are people God sent me to. I don't know them, or I didn't know them when I met them. God just instructed me to help them. Maybe pay their school fees or help them. And I do it with the commitment that I do for Koinonia. Gentlemen, may God help you. May God send you helpers. Even at this level, may my God send, I pray for you from my heart. May God send you helpers, because you have been used to do this example. May the God of my covenant surprise you. Surprise you. Surprise you. In the name of Jesus, let doors be opened for you in very supernatural ways. In the name of Jesus, you will rise without limit, and anybody who fights you goes down. Let me give you one. I have to give you one. Please remain standing. Something is burning in this place this night. Honestly, something is burning. I know when I see smoke, something is burning. Let me give you one more key. One more key. When God wants to stretch you to the next level, He introduces you to a prophetic voice. The prophetic is the last key I will give you. Just leave them. When they are fine, they can go. Leave them. We are not acting drama on stage. It's a grace. They've contacted something that will speak in their lives. The prophetic. Hosea 12:13. This is where we are going to do some prayers now. Please don't miss it. Something is about to land on your head. You will not forget this night in a hurry. And by a prophet, not by the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost walking, but by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not allow the abuses in ministry, particularly the prophetic and the apostolic, make you shut your heart towards the prophetic. There might be issues and God is dealing with it, but there are levels in destiny you will never rise to except a prophetic voice comes in as a midwife. The prophet said, bring me a minstrel. And as they played the minstrel, that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, you shall not see rain, you shall not see wind, yet you may not have a job, you may not have a house, yet. The prophetic always adds yet to your story. You may not have helpers, yet your valley shall be filled with water. Your valley. I'm a product of the prophetic. Heavy speakings of carriers of grace. The prophetic is powerful. It reveals. It creates. Next week is miracle service. Let's leave next week for next week. But for this night, for some of you, your miracle service starts now. It will only be balanced next week Sunday. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you two prayer points. Then I want to speak over your life from my heart. Please, I want you to receive it when it's that time. Are you ready to pray? Everybody shout with a preacher's voice. Say, Father. Say it again. Say, Father. In this season, I declare that where I am is too small for me. Take me to a higher dimension. By your spirit, open your mouth and begin to pray. Take me to a higher dimension. Take me to a higher dimension. New levels. Higher dimensions. Higher prophetic horizons. Someone angry with where you are, pray. Someone determined to enter your tomorrow, pray. Someone ready to ascend with the spirit, pray. Someone ready to contend with prophecy, pray. Someone ready to hatch prophecy, like a hen hatches her chick, pray. And by a prophet, he brought them out of Israel and by Egypt. By a prophet, he preserved them. Take me to a higher level. Someone pray. A higher level in ministry. A higher level of power. A higher level of illumination. Bring strategic men to my life. Take me higher. By closing the knowledge gap, I contend for transformation. I sustain my hunger. Online, make sure you are praying. You are negotiating your possibilities with destiny. You are negotiating your portion. Shabbat. Lakataba rakataba rakatosh. Rakata prantaka parantos kotesh. Eprataka parantos kote laskaba. Shabratakataba rakataba lakata. Semente parantos kiataba lakatos. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Are you ready to pray? Say, Father, every demonic activity around my destiny, around my tomorrow, fighting my next level, by the blood of Jesus, let those activities come to an end now. Open your mouth and pray. Activity of wasters, watchers of the night, wicked spirits, yokes. Etapalaka parakata pandakatosh. Prateka paratos kadiga prandakata. Kratakata parantos kalekra semadakata. Every spirit assigned from hell to fight Koinonia, to fight Joshua Selman, to fight everyone under this grace, the Lord rebuke you. To fight every family, to fight the body of Christ, to fight your job, to fight your ministry, you come under arrest by the blood. You come under arrest by the word. You come under arrest by the name. Shabalakatapash, Krapatakatapakata Prakatabalakatakatosh, Krantos Kotembalakaparakatosh. Go ahead and pray. Sealed by the blood against activities of darkness. Sealed by the blood. Sealed by the blood. Immuned by the word. And they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray. Final prayer point. Say, Father, the grace to stretch. To stretch in prayer. To stretch through my giving. To stretch through the study of the word. To stretch by connecting to strategic relationships. I obtain that grace now. Open your mouth and pray. The grace to stretch. Beyond my comfort zone. The grace to stretch. Greater levels of prayer, greater levels of the anointing, greater levels of knowledge, greater levels of wisdom, greater levels of discipline, greater levels of consecration, greater levels of relationships. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. I declare over your life, arise. I declare again, arise. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I release grace upon you. Arise. Arise from the pit. Arise from the ground. Fly like the eagles. I speak it over your life. Arise. Fly like the eagles. I place grace on your head. I place prophecy on your head. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Make progress. In the name of Jesus. I call forth helpers from the left, the right, the north, the south. May they show up now. May they show up now. May they show up now. In the name of Jesus. Every attack over your destiny, witchcraft, manipulations, over your reputation, over your ministry, over your finances, that power dies now in the name of Jesus. That power dies now in the name of Jesus. That power dies now in the name of Jesus. Hear me. Upon your head, fresh oil, fresh fire, fresh oil, fresh fire, fire for speed, fire for advancement, in the name of Jesus. Hear me. Every programming to make May a miserable month for you, I declare by prophecy, canceled now. It is canceled now. It is canceled now. Every force fighting your laughter, fighting your advancement, chaining your mind, chaining your hands, chaining your feet so that you cannot go forward, those chains are broken now. Broken now. Broken now. Over your spouse, broken now. Over your children, broken now. Over your parents, broken now. Over your ministry, broken now. Over your business, broken now. In the name of Jesus. These hands that are lifted this week, may they hold your testimony. It is not only your ears that will hear. May your hands hold your testimony. Some of you, impossible testimonies. In the name of Jesus. For someone, you are returning for miracle service just to dance. Just to dance. Because God would have so sorted your life. In the name of Jesus. Anyone having any problem in your job or in your business, from early this year, I sense in my spirit, things started going down. Honestly, you used to do well, but it's like a mysterious force is fighting you. I'm praying for you right now. By the power that raised Christ from the dead, every business here under attack, every family, I decree and declare that attack comes to an end now. The Bible says, surely there is an end. The end comes now. The kind of favor you've not seen from January till now, see it this week. Experience it this week. May good people find you. May good people call you. May help us locate you. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will not invest your energy on failure. You will not invest your energy in losses. In the name of Jesus Christ, I call you a winner all through this week. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now I decree and declare finally, for your shame, receive double honor. For your shame, make sure you are receiving it. I'm praying it from my heart. Help that gentleman. For your shame, receive double honor. Where you have been despised, may my God isolate you to be honored. Separate you to be lifted. In the name of Jesus. Shout amen 7 times. 2.
3, 4, 5, 6.
Wave your hands to Jesus and give him praise. We're out of time. Hallelujah. Let me have your attention. Another day we'll finish the remaining three. But allow me the privilege to do the altar call within the next 1 or 2 minutes. There is always room at the cross. Please don't distract those who need to come out. Let's be patient for the next 2 minutes. And I want you to allow me the honor of leading you to Jesus. You came to church tonight, and whilst you heard me speak, the Holy Ghost began to speak to you that if and when the altar call is made, you should run and come to Jesus here, because you need Jesus more than life itself, more than your necessary food. I'm going to count 1 to 5 as we always do. For someone who is across the balcony, someone who is here seated, someone who is in the overflow and following online, allow me the honor of leading you to Jesus. I need just one sincere person who is an apostle. I mean it with Jesus. God bless you, my dear brother. I'm counting 1 to 5. Someone who is joining him, leave your seat in a hurry, picking your bags, your Bibles, everything you came to church with. Let's celebrate them as they come. I begin my counting now. 1. God bless you, my sister. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Let's encourage them. No matter how things have been, he's giving you a new beginning. Come. Come. You are becoming an overcomer from tonight. Overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, the words of your testimony. Come. Two. I'm counting 3. If you're joining them, please come quickly. Please clear the way for them so they make haste. 4. Final count, 5. Let's celebrate Jesus for these ones. Hallelujah. Thank you very much, my brothers and my sisters, for showing up. Every time we show up before Jesus like this, it is because we believe in his power to save, even unto the uttermost. I'd like you to lift your right hand as a sign of surrender to the one who is the lover of your soul, the one who has brought you here. Say after me as loud and as clear and as sincere as you can. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, I pray for this, my brothers and sisters. I love them with all my heart. You have brought them by your grace to save them, to give them a new beginning. I decree and I declare by the power that raised Christ from the dead, upon the authority of God's word and upon your confession, I declare, let it be a new season for you. In the name of Jesus, I call you saved, washed by the blood of the Lamb. And the Lord is giving you a new beginning from tonight. The power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over your life. From tonight, you are a child of God. You go forward ever and backward never. And like we taught tonight, you are stretching to the next level of your life. You are stretching to experience perpetual victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please look to my right. That will be your left. There are counselors waving the placard. They would like to have a word with you and a quick prayer, and you're back to your seat. God bless you. Let's honor them as they go. Let's honor them as they go. God bless you. God bless you, all of you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless them, eh? Okay, you can see them, eh? Don't worry. You can see them and they'll refer you back. Please, eh? So, Please help them. Some of these guys, they do. You can attend to them. Eh? We don't have all that time now, please. Please take him there. I'm sorry. Praise God. Let's celebrate them. Apologies. When sometimes these things happen, some of those guys come. It's unfortunate. But we're happy that they are making a decision for Jesus. Only God knows where they are coming from. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed tonight? Please rise, everybody. Rise, everybody. By the way, you prayed for Sound of Revival. We're only a few days left. Make sure you connect. Some of you have not given. Make sure you give. That includes our family in UK. You can give to our accounts here. You can give to our account in the UK. Those of you in UK, make sure you give. Not because we have a necessity. Almost all the budgets that have been presented have been cleared. So we're not doing this to raise funds. But this is so that everybody is able to participate. Particularly those of you who are in Europe, who are coming to your region. You should participate in what God is doing. Don't just come and sit to bench, to warm the bench. Make sure that you are hungry enough. Invite everyone. Glasgow, Scotland it is. The details are there. And if you're yet to register, you can try. Try with the PR. Reach them. If there's any space, they can take you in. But even if you are not having the space, you can connect online. Everything is going to be aired online, so you can follow through all our social media platforms. The Lord bless every one of you. As always, let me encourage you. Please go and listen to the message. It is a charge to provoke advancement in your life so that you rise to higher levels and greater dimensions. May the Lord bless you. In the name of Jesus. God will stretch you this week. He will stretch your prayer life. Stretch your word study life. In the name of Jesus. And the results from this stretch will speak this week. I bless you with all my heart. All of the graces and the prophecies you have received, may they work for you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Together let's share the grace in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely God's goodness and mercies follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Make sure you invite everyone for the miracle service. Please don't come alone. Invite as many people. God bless you. See you next week.